Grace and peace be yours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's Transfiguration Sunday, and Jesus, who most days walked among the people, he moved in and out among the people, and most people would have looked at him and said, there's an ordinary man. Jesus is the God-man, though, right? Jesus is God come in the flesh, and yes, in the flesh, he looked like a normal man, but on Transfiguration Sunday, he lifts the veil a little. Jesus discloses his glory and his majesty to say that God, who is light, the Bible tells us, and in him there is no darkness at all, that light, that eternal light, the eternal God, is Christ, right? Christ, the second member of the Trinity, the Son of God, begotten from all eternity, was with them. It was a revelation for them to see him who he is. So in my midweek class, we have a few times used a phrase, and I think it's important for everyone in a congregation to know these words, and I do want you to memorize them. Here it is. The full and finished work of Jesus Christ. The full and finished work of Jesus Christ. That's your salvation, right? That Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, preached the gospel, healed the sick, raised the dead, went to the cross, died, rose again, that's your salvation. And the reason I say the full and finished work is because the work has been done by him. On the cross, he said the very thing. What did he say? It is finished. What's left to do? It's full and finished. We need to know that. But I started thinking about it with Transfiguration Sunday. What's the other side of that equation? Jesus' side is the full and finished work of redemption. But from us, this calls for a full and biblical confession of who he is. I want us to be serious about that. A full and biblical confession of who he is. Because it's possible to get that wrong, right? People will always have something to say about Jesus. People will love to say about Jesus, well, he was a great man. Is that enough? It's not, is it? Jesus was a great teacher. He was wise. His words are full of wisdom. Is that enough? It's not. People will say Jesus was a prophet. He was a miracle worker. He was a traveling preacher. He reached out to people of all sorts. All those things are true. But they're wrong by being insufficient. Our gospel lesson this morning was from Matthew chapter 17. And if you go back one chapter, it's funny, this is the context of it. In other words, we were reading Matthew 17, back up to Matthew 16, and Jesus shows us how important it is because he says to his disciples, he knows that people are talking about him, so what does he say? Who do people say that I am? Isn't that funny that that's the context to the Transfiguration? Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? Then, same as now, lots of possibilities. They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. But that's not where the text ends, is it? Because when Jesus said, who do they say that I am? There's another question, right? Who do you say that I am? That's the point, right? Who do you say that I am? And Peter gets it right. By the way, Peter's always the first to speak, right? So Peter speaks up, kind of like, oh, Jesus, call on me. I know this one. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a wonderful confession, right? For him to get who Jesus is, to confess him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's dead on, right? For a few minutes, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, and Jesus takes it to the next level, and he says, okay, Peter, and where we're headed is Jerusalem, where I'm about to be killed. And what does Peter say? Never. Right? Never, Lord. That'll never happen to you. Isn't that the way we are? We go from the truth to error so quickly. By the way, I'm not saying Peter wasn't saved, because he was. But wow, did he get that wrong. So let's go to Matthew 17. I love that the text starts with these words, after 6 days. After 6 days, Jesus took them up on a mountain by themselves. Whenever I read the phrase after 6 days, it makes me think of the creation account, right? God, who made everything that exists, the entire natural order, is called into existence by God and his word. How long did it take him? 6 days. God doing his work, God in his busyness, creating everything. And what happens the day after that?
Rest.
I think that's important, right? There's nothing wrong with being busy, right? It's okay. Most of us are. You're busy. You have things to do. I get it. But you know what we are today? We are a people without rest. Right? A people without rest. God worked for 6 days, and then he rested. And here it is again. Matthew 17. By the way, Matthew 16, they were busy. They were doing a lot of stuff. Jesus was disputing with the scribes and the Pharisees. People said to Jesus, Jesus, show us a sign. Peter has his confession, and then I'm going to call it, and then Peter had his confusion. All that's busyness and work, and then God says, we need to step aside. Do you have that? Right? See, I know in our Christian walk, we often say, I need a fresh vision of God. I need a fresh awareness of who God is. And then you know what we do? We schedule it out. God is saying to them, guys, we need to step aside. Look in the text. It says these words, by themselves. On the seventh day, they rest and see Jesus. Right? How many disciples did Jesus take up there on the mountain? Just three. By this time in Matthew, there's thousands of disciples, right? And within those thousands, there's 12 that are the apostles. But within the 12, there's an inner circle, just three. And read the rest of the New Testament. It's the same three names every single time. Peter, James, and John, every time. We have that, right? We should have thousands of friends. We're supposed to connect to people. It's okay. You have 1,500 friends on your Facebook account. That's okay. Friends to many. But I would say to you, who's the three? Right? The three that know us deeply, honestly, that we can lean on and trust. Jesus had it. Peter, James, and John. Who are the three for you? And in that, the inner circle, getting away in quietness, then the transfiguration. And it's funny that it's quite literal that Jesus glows. Epiphany season is that season when we say Jesus is the light of the world. And as I said before, God is light and in him there is no darkness. And we usually think of that as a metaphor. Like God's light means that he illuminates things, that he helps us understand. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's actually literal. Matthew's sort of looking for words. How do you describe it? Jesus' face shines like the sun. Not just him, his clothes are radiant white like the light. It was literally the glory and the majesty of God. Even Moses in the Old Testament, he goes into the cloud, the brightness of God. And there it is. On the mountain, the brightness, who is Jesus? God, come to them. The Old Testament refers to it as the Shekinah, glory of God, the light in the cloud, the visible presence of God with his people. And then Moses and Elijah. It's always a fun little detail, right? Moses and Elijah. Some people say, well, those guys are there because they're people who had visions of God on a mountain. Moses, Mount Sinai, Elijah, Mount Horeb. Maybe so. But I think it's more likely this. Those men stand for something. Moses is the lawgiver and Elijah is a prophet. The fact that Moses and Elijah are there say that the law and the prophets are about Jesus. Well, what is the law and the prophets? As New Testament Christians, what do we call it? The Old Testament. Did you know that your Jewish friends don't call it the Old Testament? Right? If you were to say to our Jewish friends, how do you refer to the Holy Scriptures? They would say it's the Law and the Prophets. Well, good, here they are. The Law and the Prophets say that Jesus is the Christ. That's why they're there. So who speaks? With all that going on, the revelation of Jesus as God in the flesh, who always has something to say? Peter. By the way, our translators in their Bible says, and Peter said. The Greek word there isn't Peter said, it's Peter answered. It's a funny little thing. It's like he's answering the situation. You know what needs to be said? Nothing. Do you know people like that? When nothing needs to be said, that they have something to say? And I know you're thinking, yeah, pastors are like that. But some other people are too. Nothing needs to be said. But Peter, and he's once again half right. Lord, it's good to be here. He's right. And there's something about us. When we have a mountaintop experience, we think, wow, it should stay like this all the time. It was always special and wonderful like this. You don't get to stay there, right? But then he says this, let me make three shelters. One, and he's saying to Jesus, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. How's he wrong? He just put Moses and Elijah on the same level as Jesus? I was serious with the children's message, right? Jesus only. Which human being is equal to Jesus? None. So he says, Jesus, let's make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I love that the text says this. It literally says, while he was still speaking, Peter is literally saying those words, and the cloud descends again. There's that Shekinah glory, the descending presence of God. The cloud descends. God speaks from the cloud. This is my son, my beloved. In him, I'm well pleased. That's a sentence, right? This is my son. I'm pleased with him. After the sentence is a command, a short little sentence, but it's a command. What is it? Listen to him. Isn't that funny? Jesus, God in the flesh, on the mountain, Moses and Elijah there, and of course they're then taken away. Just Jesus, God the Father says, listen to him. I've always read this in the past thinking when the Bible says listen to him, that means that when Jesus teaches later, we should listen to that. But here's a funny thought. What if the Father in heaven said listen to him and he meant listen to the next words? Because who's the next person to speak? Jesus. Peter says something half right, half wrong. God the Father in heaven says, this is my son, my beloved one. Listen to him, so we should be listening. What's he going to say? It's really quite simple, right? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Isn't that typical of Jesus' message to his people? That's his message to his people now. Don't be afraid. He's spoken that way all the time. I always loved Joshua. He's the man who followed Moses in the leadership. He was terrified. What did God say? Now, God often says, don't be afraid. And then he says something specific after that. Joshua getting ready to lead the nation. God says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Jeremiah, he was called to be a prophet. He was a young man. A young man thinking he was too young to do it. And God said, listen to these words. Don't be afraid of them. Isn't that powerful? Don't be afraid of them. Because when we're afraid, what are we most often afraid of? Other people, right? Other people. Joshua, don't be afraid of them. Mary, I love Mary. The angel comes to her and says, you are going to give birth to the Savior of the world. That's a difficult thought, right? And the angel says, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Those are great phrases. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And so Jesus, to his disciples, fear not, if you prefer the King James. Of course, they are afraid. He means stop being afraid. That's the transfiguration. Then seeing Jesus for who he was. Letting us know that not just knowing about his full and finished work, but having a full and biblical confession of this Jesus, of who he is and what he does. You know what follows the transfiguration? We didn't read it this morning, but if you keep going, they come down the mountain. And what's the first thing they encounter? A young boy with a demon, right? They're up on the mountaintop having literally a mountaintop experience with Jesus, and they're thinking, let's stay there. And they get down and they find a young man with a demon that needs to be healed. And where are they? They're right back at it, right? Isn't that the way it is? Be busy, but be refreshed. And when you're refreshed, you don't stay there. You have to get right back at it, not being afraid. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.